A little book of Joel. Joel. I hope you read it. I read it several times in preparation for this, and kept being revealed to me. Read verses 1 through 3. Joel 1, verses 1 through 3. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, son of Pethuel, hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. So it begins with the word of the Lord, and he says, hear this, ye old men. How significant that is, relevant that is to this congregation, which is older, been around a while. And he says, hear this now. I have personally only preached one message from the book of Joel since I've been here, 30-some years. Is this relevant? Or is this just some old, archaic, out-of-date prophecy that has no application to now? No, there is no old, out-of-date, archaic prophecy. It's the living word of the living God, and it applies to every living person, every generation. Actually, it's more relevant now than ever, because we're in the very last days. It's more relevant now than ever. It's easier for me to preach messages of comfort. And I'm going to comfort. It's easier for me. It's more joyful for me. I enjoy preaching messages that are more comforting. He told Isaiah in chapter 40, comfort ye, my people. But everybody's not his people. There are people in this room that are not yet his people. And you've heard this so many times from me, and I first heard it from my preacher, my pastor, that the scriptures are full of warnings and promises. Warnings lest we presume, promises lest we despair. But there's no promises to those who don't heed the warning. Okay? And even God's people need warning, don't we? There never comes a time that we don't need to be warned. In fact, Zion, the Lord says, all the prophets warn. You've read them. Warning, mixed with promises. And that's one of the big reasons that the people hated the prophets and killed them all. They all were killed. People don't like that. And Isaiah, he said, comfort ye, my people. That's chapter 40. You know what all went on before that chapter, beginning with chapter 1. You know what that said, doesn't it? So, all the prophets warned and sounded the alarm, and throughout this prophecy talks about the alarm, and they lamented, Jeremiah, and then Lamentation, they lamented, they mourned over their generation, their evil, evil generation. It's never been more so than now. And it should make us mourn. Lament, shouldn't it? For us and our children, shouldn't it? And the worse things become, the more we should sound the alarm. Right? The more complacent. Woe is though they're at ease in Zion. The more complacent we should sound the alarm. Verse 2 says, hear this now. Verse 3 says, tell it to your children. Tell your children this. Tell them this. Verse 5, awake. Wake up. Paul said that, didn't he? Let us not sleep as do others. Wake up. Verse 6, the nations coming upon us, the enemies on us, upon us, the enemies upon us. The Lord has prepared us a table. Here we see it. Where? Where does He prepare a table? What does Psalm 23 say? In the midst of our enemies. Thank God for this place. Thank God for this table. Thank God for the comfort of the gospel. But oh my. Sound the alarm. Now the Lord literally, and if you read this book, it's just three chapters. The Lord literally sent invading armies, literally sent armies to destroy Jerusalem. His people. His professing people. He literally sent armies to destroy that nation and take people captive. Why? Sin. Sin. Look at chapter 2, verse 11. The Lord shall utter His voice before His army. Joel is prophesying of something that actually happened to Jerusalem. The Chaldeans came and just wiped them out and took the people captive. And this is not the only time. This happened many times down through the history of Israel. But the Lord said, they're my army. I sent them. You know that? Nobody, you know, that the king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, He turneth it whithersoever He will. Pharaoh did what God told him to do. God hardened his heart, didn't he? And all the rulers throughout the history have been in the hands of the Lord, and He sends them because of sin and idolatry and unbelief and so forth. Look at verse 20 of chapter 2. Verse 20. He said, I will remove far off from you the northern army. That is, this nation, this army that He sent. Verse 25, the last line says, my great army which I sent among you. In Psalm 17, David talks about his enemies and asks the Lord to deliver them. He says, deliver them from men who are your sword. In chapter 3, look at verse 2. He says, I'll gather all nations, bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. We're going to look at that in a few minutes. Then I'm going to gather them all together against my people. We're going to see what that means in a minute. We're really going to understand what that means. Armageddon. Boy, if I'd announced this message is going to deal something with Armageddon, there wouldn't be an empty seat in here. The Lord said, the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 24 is where He gave a general summary of the end of all things, when and how and so forth, in Matthew 24. Very short, very brief, Matthew 24. He said, you'll hear wars and rumors of war. He told them, His people, don't be afraid. And there have literally been wars and wars and wars since the beginning of time, haven't they? And then and now, and it will never stop. But this is not what we need to be afraid of. Invading armies and nations is not what we need to be afraid of. We need to fear and we need to be aware of an enemy that is unseen. Okay? And in my generation, just in my generation, I wasn't born until after World War II. But, there have been armies from Korea, Vietnam, and Russia, and what's next? China? The real battle that rages. The greatest enemy who kills people, who holds men and women and young people captive, is an unseen foe that the world that is in his captivity and under his dominion scoffs at and laughs at like it's some fairy tale. Well, it's very, very real. I'm talking about the God of this world, Satan. He lays bare the land. In all of this, we read how the land is empty and people are dying and leaves the land with Noah. Keeps talking about, look at verse 14 of chapter 2. It says, who knows if the Lord will return and leave a blessing behind him, a meat offering and a drink offering. Chapter 1, look at that. This, verse 9, the meat offering, the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. The land is empty, it's desolate, it's void. There's no meat offering or drink offering in the house of the Lord. What's that talking about? There's not a person in here who shouldn't know what the meat offering and the drink offering in the house of the Lord is. Our Lord says, my body is my meat indeed. My blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath life. I abide in him. He abides in me. But this is what it's saying. The gospel is missing. Look around you. Listen, it's sad, isn't it? It's awful. Ephesians 6, go over there. This tells us who we're battling against. Ephesians chapter 6. You know, we love Ephesians 1 and 2, but the last chapter is just full of warning. Put on this armor now. Put on this armor. Ephesians 6, verse 11, put on the armor of God. Why? We've got a wily enemy. Verse 12, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. China is the least of our worries. The ruler of China is in the hands of Jesus Christ. He can't do anything unless the Lord tells him to. And would God, the Lord, send him against this nation? Maybe. Why? Idolatry. Sin. Unbelief. Wipe them out. Ought to. He did that to Israel. He did it to Israel several times. But those better read, didn't they? They claimed to be God's people. Oh, how this applies, Stephen, how this applies to professing Christendom, Christianity. Christianity. Christianity means people that worship Jesus Christ. A people that believe that Jesus Christ is all in all. A people that love the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. A people that worship God in spirit. Did you hear the radio mention? Really worship God as God and rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, his gospel. So much so that they will never meet in a time that they don't hear the gospel. That's what they want to do. He's their life. Not all this fun and games and stuff, you know, family and fun and, you know, dinners and all this religious crap that's going on today. Not God's people. But that's all the land is full of, isn't it? The meat offering and the drink offering is missing in the house of God. Sad. And it's no laughing matter. It's sad. It's a weeping matter. Revelation 17 talks about... I got to go on. Revelation 17 talks about war. It talks about the whole world doing war against the Lamb. The Lamb. You know where this started? In the Garden of Eden. Satan's seed against God's seed. Against Christ. It talks about armies following the Lamb. Talks about one thing overcoming everyone and everything. the blood of the Lamb. About many of them dying for the cause of the Lamb. But precious in the sight of the Lord was the death of their saint. And He'll avenge their blood. And then He's coming to shed some blood. Because of their rejection of Jesus Christ. Forward. Fiction? Fairy tale? Cunningly devised fable? No. Simon Peter said, "We beheld the Lamb." We saw Him. We heard Him. He came. And He's coming again. Coming again. No, this is no allegory. This is no fable. This is no fiction. This is the fact. This is truth about Jesus Christ. Joel 1 and 2 is full of warnings. Go back to Joel. Joel's chapter 1 and 2 is full of warnings and a call to the people to lament. Lament. And verse 11, it says, Joel chapter 1, verse 11, "Be ashamed." Did you read the last article in our bulletin? "Far from being men and women being ashamed of sin and their rebellion and their cursing of God and using God's name in vain. Far from being ashamed, they glory. Glory in the shame." God forbid that we should ever speak of sin, that I should ever preach on sin and talk about sin without hanging my head. Be ashamed. Verse 13, He says, "Gird yourselves." Gird yourselves. How do we gird ourselves? He's talking about war, battle. How do you gird yourself? With truth. Shod with the preparation of the gospel. Gird, lament, howl, He said. He tells the preachers, "Lie all night on the ground. Lie all night on the ground. Call on the Lord." Verse 14, "Sanctify fast. Call a solemn assembly." It says that in chapter 2, verse 15. A solemn assembly. A solemn assembly. How should our assemblies be? How should this assembly be? Sober. Solemn. Serious. 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 This is not... Paul the Apostle said, "I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling," didn't he? If this preacher, my general tenor of life, is not serious, if I'm a clown, if I'm clowning and joking and all that before I get in the pulpit and all of a sudden get serious, you run real quick and you find you a preacher that's serious about this. Paul said, "I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling." Oh, may it be so with me. May it be so with you. You see, this message is a message of warning. It's an urgent cry to what? Repent. When Peter preached at Pentecost, all those people, he had one thing. Repent. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Cry, mourn, fear. And all who do. All who do. Blessed promises. All who turn. All whom the Lord turn. All who cry. Repent means this. Turn us, O Lord. All who repent. Like David. David said, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Against thee and thee only have I sinned." That's repentance. "Create in me, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Create in me a clean heart. Renew within me a right spirit. O Lord." Anybody have... See, there's not only a war raging out there. I mean, there's not only evil and wickedness out there, it's in here too. This is, you know, the Lord sent wars and rumors of war. The Lord sent plagues. Nothing changed. God hadn't changed. The world hasn't changed. Man hadn't changed. God hadn't changed the way He does things. He sent plague after plague after plague, and Egypt didn't recognize it. God's people did. plague after plague after plague. And the last plague we should be worried about is COVID. The plague we need to worry about is the plague of our own heart. Right? Send me COVID and kill me before my sins do. Right? That'd be a blessing. Day of one's death better than birth, Scripture said. Oh, Lord. Let me tell you this true story. Brother Ralph Barger was, when he was a little boy, he had a dog named Shep, the shepherd, named him Shep. He loved that dog. And one day he came in, just a young boy, 7 or 8 years old, and he came in and said, "Dad, something's wrong with Shep." His dad was listening. He said, "Shep growled at me." He said, "He's never growled at me before." Father became grave. He said, "And Dad, he's kind of foaming in his mouth." His dad reached up, walked over to the mantel over the fireplace and grabbed his shotgun off. He broke it open, put a couple shells in the chamber, put it back. "Dad," Rolf said, "Dad, what are you doing?" He said, "Son, I got to kill Shep before he kills you. There's only one who can kill this sin in us. Only one hope. Only one hope for those who are dead and dying. Be crucified with Christ. This is the only hope. The only hope." So I preach a message of hope. Hope. Look at chapter 2. He says, "Sound the alarm, blow the trumpet." What's a trumpet? It's a gospel trumpet. And there were two trumpets over in Numbers. Lord told, I think, chapter 10, I think, where the Lord told Moses to make two trumpets of silver, solid silver. What's silver? That's the price of the atonement, of redemption. Okay. All the sockets under all the posts, the whole, everything was on silver. The price of redemption, the atonement, the blood of Jesus Christ. They said, make two trumpets. One was for the calling of assembly, calling the people in. It's a calling of a trumpet. Come, come, come. What for? Why are you gathering? To see the sacrifice. The meat offering, the drink offering. Come, all gather. We're going to gather around the lamb being slain. This is it. And then there was another warning. The enemy's approaching. It made them all wake up and go out. They were to go out. It means one was to gather and the other one was to go. One was blessing of gathering and assembly and all that. The other trumpet was, get up now, we're leaving. We're leaving. We're going out in the world. And it's danger. There's nothing but the enemy. That's the gospel, isn't it? Come on, come on. I'll tell you the good news. Nothing but good. It's good news. It's hope now. Only hope in Jesus Christ, His blood. Come on now, gather with me. This is our only hope. Why? Because we're going out. We're going out. It's a dangerous place. The second message this morning is about darkness. Light and darkness. Darkness is fearful. Darkness is dangerous. Dangerous. Well, the day of the Lord, he says throughout this book, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord. Chapter 2, verse 11. Look at this. It says, "The Lord shall utter his voice, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it?" Day of the Lord. All through the Scriptures, the day of the Lord. It's often spoken of, the day of the Lord is often spoken of as the judgment of God against the people for their sins, by war, by plagues. The last plague in Egypt before the death of the firstborn was darkness. Darkness that could be felt. Are we in the last days or what? Right before the Lord coming, before we're going out. It's really good news to us. We're not in darkness, is it? But that's my next message. But the day of the Lord is often spoken of as judgment against the people for their sins. The day of the Lord is the day of the Lord Jesus Christ when he came to this earth the first time, when he came to live on this earth. Son of righteousness arose on this earth, this dark place. The Son walked among us. He lived. He died. The day of the Lord is speaking often of the day the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's tree. Great and terrible. Very terrible. Malachi 3 talked about the day of the Lord. Who shall abide his coming? He's like a refiner's fire and fuller soap. The day of the Lord is the day the Lord Jesus Christ died. It talks about darkness. The whole world was in darkness from the third hour, sixth hour to the ninth hour when Christ was hanging on Calvary's tree. The day of the Lord is often spoken of in scriptures as the day he comes to you. The day the gospel comes in power, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ comes in power to you. It's both terrible and wonderful. It's a day of darkness and a day of light. And it's a day of death, the day you die and the day you live. It's a day of great fear, conviction of sin, and great joy. The day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is often spoken of in scriptures as a day when he's coming back to this earth. And then it'll be, after that, there'll be one long day. No more night. No more darkness. No more enemy. No more enemies. Anybody want that? Surely someone says, and maybe not in this room, but someone who hears this or will hear this, where is the promise of his coming? As in the days of Noah, they say everything continues like it always has. Well, look, everything, peace. It's peace, peace. We're not hearing from Korea anymore. We're not worried about North Korea anymore. Right. We hadn't heard from that fellow in a long time. When COVID quietened him. It doesn't take much for the Lord to... I laugh. I do. He that sits in the heavens laughs. We haven't heard from that fellow in years. He's still there, isn't he? Is he still a threat? Well, you know. China. Everything's continued like it always has. You know, everything's coming from y'all. Everything's fine. Everything's just fine. Oh, isn't that? Chapter 2 actually happened to Israel. The Lord sent an invading army and took them all captive. And as I said, it's like professing Christianity today. Here's the blessed promise, okay? Chapter 2, verse 12. Let's just read it. Chapter 2, verse 12. Now, therefore, he said, turn even to me. Turn to me, God said, Christ the Lord, with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Rend your heart, not your garment. Turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, great kindness, repenteth him of the evil. Who knows? If he will return, repent, and leave a blessing behind him, a meat offering and a drink offering. Who knows? Turn, call, ask. You know, this modern Christianity talks about all this. Claim it, claim it, claim the blessing like men deserve it. The way we approach God is beggars.
That's right.
Fall on our faces. Lord, you don't have to show a blessing. God bless America. Why? Because we're such a good nation. Oh no. Oh, may the Lord bless America. May the Lord have mercy on America through preaching the gospel. Show America, show my people their sins, God said to Jeremiah. Restore. Keep reading with me. Chapter 2. Blow the trumpet, verse 15. Call an assembly. Gather the people. Assemble the elders. Gather them all, young and old. Verse 17. Let the priest weep, saying, spare thy people, O Lord. Give them not to reproach. The heathen, they're out there in amongst the heathen. Read on. Verse 18. If this happens, if the Lord grants this repentance and this calling on them, you know what the Lord says? Then I'll be jealous for the land. I'll pity this people. The Lord will answer and say unto his people, I'm going to send you corn and wine and oil. What's that? Hosea, remember, said there's a famine. Amos, there's a famine. Next book. There's a famine in the land, not of bread. There's so much bread, everybody's full of it. But of the hearing of the word of the Lord, famine. He says, people call on me, say, I'll send corn. I'll send wine. I'll send oil, the Holy Spirit. You know what he'll do? He'll show you Christ, your only hope. And a good hope. Right there. And verse 20 says, I'll remove my northern army. I'll keep the enemy at bay. Whoo, man, please, Lord. Verse 21, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice. The Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field. Talks about the beasts moaning and groaning. Isn't that Romans 8? Whole creation groaneth, waiting for the sons of God, the manifestation of sons of God. The whole earth groans and moans. My, my. Look at chapter 3. I got to get over here real quick. This is Christ crucified. I may have to do two messages here. I probably will. My time is up. But you need to see this. He says in chapter 3, verse 1, behold, in those days, these days, because chapter 2 talks about, and people, Pentecost, you know what happened at Pentecost, chapter 2? He poured out his spirit on the people, Gentiles and so forth. And Mount Zion, Jerusalem, was a deliverance. Those that call on the name of the Lord delivered in Mount Zion and Jerusalem, that's the church. And the Lord said, the remnant whom the Lord shall call by the gospel. And he pours out this blessing of the gospel, meat offering, drink offering, corn, wine, the oil of the gospel of Christ that they call. And he blesses them, okay? In chapter 3, verse 1, he says that in those days, I'll bring again the captivity. I'll leave captivity captive. My people. Those that call on me in spirit and truth. Those that really call. And look at what he does. Down in verse 14. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. Maybe we'll do this Wednesday night. The rest of this, okay? Jehoshaphat, Armageddon, all that. It says in verse 15. I'm going to give you a clue to it all right here. The key to it all. You already knew it. Verse 14, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. The day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon will be darkened. The stars shall withdraw their shine. The Lord shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice. The heavens and the earth shall quake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. What's that talking about? Christ on the cross. Christ and him crucified. Okay.